To this call of Working Party One. Welcome everyone to this call of Working Party One in the CCWG on Enhancing ICANN Accountability on the 13th of June 2015, 0500 UTC. Now that we're official and on the record and all that jazz, thank you to everyone who has been doing the work. I can't speak any louder, but I can move the microphone a little bit closer to my face if that helps. This is as good as I can do. The second thing I'd like to do is apologize to Council because I promised that I would send you agendas and so on direct, and I didn't. So that's my fault entirely. It's still preferable to do that than to ask you to join the list and see all of the traffic that's going on, but I have now sent that to Rosemary and to Holly. The third thing is I apologize for the late circulation of the agenda. Our first item is to go through it. What I thought we would possibly most usefully do with this call is, in recalling our work, is to get summary information and proposed approaches on the feedback that we've got ready for the CCWG to look at on Friday next week. It would be helpful to start looking at the way that people are summarizing the material. And I think on our last call, we said we would look, hopefully, for summaries of some of the shorter parts. And I prepared summaries for questions 8 and 9 on the budget and strategic plan and on whatever question 9 was for reading based on the comments that I think Robin had prepared in those areas. So we can go through those. Questions 11 and 12, Fiona has gone through the comments there and has done draft summaries as well, so that we can go through those. And if we have time in terms of content, I think it would be helpful to look at the updated comments that Steve and Rulof have been doing a little bit of in the AOC section and in the first section of the document. Okay, if everyone is having trouble hearing me and this is not getting it any better, the floor is with the microphone on the phone that I'm using, and I'll need to ask staff to give me a different dial-out. So I'll organize that now. And in the meantime, I would like to ask if there is anyone who has if this is better, then I'll keep on with this, and I'll try and speak a little bit more loudly to the empty office, and then we can avoid any disruption. So are there any calls on the agenda? Would anyone like to propose any additional items or to take any items off the draft agenda that's in the discussion notes box to the right of your screen? I don't see any calls, so remember that if you do think of another thing that we need to discuss, we can do it in the any other business item at the end of the call, and we will move through as presented. So if I could ask you, Barry, to move the screen that you're showing us to the summary for question 8, which is above comment 268 in the comment section. I can talk people through that. So Robin isn't on the call, Robin Gross, but she prepared all of the notes in the individual cells relating to these pieces of feedback from the public comment period. And all I did was have a look at what Working Party 2 was doing in terms of its pattern recognition approach, and I just kind of truncated it to give, firstly, a sense of the overall impression that was coming through. So you can see there were 22 comments, 17 suggested agreement, 11 noted concerns, there were no confusion-rated comments, and there were 2 divergent-rated ones. So that adds up, obviously, to more than the number of comments, because some comments have more than one attribute. And my overall summary of the feedback was that there was broad agreement this power would enhance ICANN accountability, but significant or extensive concerns that the power would have to be implemented in a way that does not compromise ICANN's effectiveness. So that was my attempt at a one-sentence summary of the 20 or so comments. And the two main issues that came through in that were that people didn't want to see negative impacts on ICANN's operational effectiveness arising from the use of this power, and that they wanted to see a process for preparing budgets and plans that did take account, effectively take account of all relevant community input, so that by the time the board does finalize these plans or budgets, there's likely to be a high degree of agreement anyway, so that there is less likely to be a rejection through this process. Now, I should, before I go on, I'll say that this is a first draft, so there's no assumption on my part that I've got it right. This is the collective scrutiny process that we're now doing. And then on the specific concerns, all I did was take basically from various comments that have been made, just going through one by one and adding kind of headlines that represent the suggestions or concerns or feedback that came through. And then down the bottom was a draft proposal of how we could suggest to the whole CCWG that we respond to this block of comments in total. I should finish up by saying that I didn't go through and change anything, I don't think, in the CCWG response and actions to the individual comments. I didn't want to override the work that anyone else was doing on that front. So I'll open a speaking list with Roelof first to just make any comments or any agreements or disagreements on the content that's provided there, and we can talk through it. So Roelof, the floor is yours. And Roelof, you may be on mute because we can't hear you, or at least I can't hear you.
Oh, hello, Jordan. Sorry about that. I didn't know I had a phone because on my side, you're dropping off and coming back on all the time. And that's probably also the cause of my confusion that I'm not sure what I'm seeing with the document. Is the kind of a summary of all the comments that we are working on, or is it a specific part? Because if I look at the main issues or concerns section, I cannot align that with the comments that I've been going through so far.
This, Roelof, good question. Well, this is only a summary
of all comments. Yeah.
This is only a summary of the 22 comments that were lodged in response to the question 8, which was regarding the power for the community to reject a budget or strategic plan. So my notion was that we would prepare a summary like this for each of the sets of responses to questions. So it doesn't deal with any of the other comments. This is only in respect of reconsider or reject budget or strategy / operating plan. That's all.
Okay, so I think it would be helpful to give the starting number, the starting number of the list of comments, and the last and the number of the last comment that is concerned with this. So this is summary of comments number X to comments number Y, something like that. And I understand it's on question 8, and we've been working on question 7. Thank you.
Good idea. Good idea, and we'll do it straight away. 68 to 2. Are there any other speakers with suggestions, questions on this? Please put your hand up if so. Can I ask, is there no hands? Can I ask a different question. Are there any kind of elements of a summary that you think would be helpfully added here? You are all very quiet. It must be a time zone thing or a time of day, or you're all blown away by the perfection of the work. So I'm going to suggest that we move on and have a look at the next summary. Rulof has made a comment in the screen that he has no scroll control. The reason for that is that this is Barry Cobb's screen that is being projected onto the screen, and so if you did have scroll control, you'd only be able to move his screen around. You wouldn't be able to interact with the document. But you can interact with the document on your computer through the link to the Google Doc that is at the top of the notes module on the right. Rulof, please go ahead.
Thanks, Jordan. I don't know if it's only me, but I find it very difficult to follow you because you keep dropping off. So I hear half sentences, I hear only the start or the end of a question, but that might, if it's not only me, that might be a reason why there's so little response.
I will change phone, and hopefully that will be able to happen quite quickly. And hopefully that will lead to a better quality audio from me for all of you. If there are no other points on question 8, Barry has moved on to question 9 in the screen. So you can see the comments there. And I would ask if there are any speakers or any comments on that. Content.
Give me the corn to shuck. I got it.
Someone I can hear whispering on the call. Rulof, your hand is still up, or has it just gone up? It's gone up.
It's just gone down. Sorry about that.
Okay. Well, if there are no comments on this one, again, these are relatively straightforward comments because there aren't a large number of comments. Most of them are in agreement. And you can see that I took exactly the same approach. Now, excuse me, I'll just get on the other dial-up. Hi, everyone. I've changed phones, so let me know if this is better or worse audio. Jonathan Zook, your hand is up. Please go ahead and speak.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Okay, great. I guess, all right, thanks. My only comment, I guess, and this maybe applies to the last one more than this one, that there was sort of buried in the specific concerns section someone saying, I don't remember whose it was, but I don't think this will work or something like that, that's sort of more strongly worded than just some of the corrective kinds of comments of the others, and I guess I worry that if there's an outright opposition that we not bury it, but make sure that we address it, just in terms of how our reaction to the comments is perceived, because I know that the community itself has this frustration with the board, that there's a big staff summary of comments, et cetera, but there's not clarity about how each was dealt with. So that's the only thing I'm interested about from this perspective, is how we deal with sort of the out, that we don't in the bullets bury outright opposition, but make sure that it's surfaced and dealt with.
Thanks, Jonathan. I think that's an important point, and that we should absolutely draw out positions like that. I didn't read all of the comments as thoroughly as perhaps I should have done when I was preparing the summary. I was relying more on the summaries of each comment. So I've got two things to ask for. First is, whenever anyone is doing one of these summaries or working on them, please make sure that you do add and highlight any comments that are in an outright different or divergent direction, so that they can be, A, seen to have been dealt with, and B, so that the CCWG can take another look at those positions and actively decide whether it's going to change its position or take a different approach or do something, not passively forget about it because it got buried in the summary. So that's a general point for everyone who's doing summaries. The second point is a specific one for Jonathan and for anyone else who's noticed specifics like that. Could you go in and add some track changes that actually highlight that? And just add it at the end of the specific concerns list, I think, maybe with a tag that says it's a divergence thing. We can clean up the format later. So, Jonathan, I'm hoping that you might be able to do that. Do you recall the specifics of what the comment was? Well, we do have time to work through this now. We do have time to get this right.
Right, and it's just an example, right? And so I want to make sure that I didn't, given the time zone here, that I'm not missing it. But, for example, the third from the last under specific concerns was doubtful of value or effectiveness, opposed to strengthening. It feels like a different kind of comment than limit rejection of plan to once per cycle, for example, that feels more like a constructive criticism that can be incorporated somehow into the recommendations. So that's why it just feels different to me.
So
comment 278, it looks like.
What if we do something like what I'm doing on the screen at the moment? Is that a more helpful and transparent and visible way to show off divergent comments? By literally labeling them as such and having them in a separate list?
I think that's helpful, but I also think that we'll need to make sure that we haven't gotten to this part in a way, but we need to make sure that we surface them in our response. Hopefully this comment 278, which right now is sort of anonymous, it's just a number, but has some rationale for that, and there's a response to that agreement or disagreement.
It might be helpful to look, because once again, we've got time. So you can see it on the screen in front of you.
So here it's not listed as divergent either. So, I mean, it's just under concerns.
That's a good point. It probably should be divergent rather than... So, that's a... You know, there are no perfect ways of representing any of this stuff, of course. So I've added the divergence tag to that, because I think that's fair. And what this shows is that everyone does need to be taking a careful look at these to get the summaries right. I've now updated the number of divergent comments in that summary too. Steve DelBianco, your hand is up.
Yeah, thank you, Jordan. I did find it was constructive to not only read the underlying comment, which takes much longer than reading the staff summaries, and, of course, referring back to our actual proposal document to understand areas where maybe the commenter misunderstood what it was that we had proposed. And that gives you the opportunity to, I think you would call it confusion, or perhaps they had a mistaken notion to it. And the very first one under question 9 is Richard Hill. And in the text of Richard's long comment, he answers 9 with the word yes. That's great. But in the staff summary, you would miss what Richard Hill said in the context of his comment. I put it into the chat, where he said the membership and only the membership should have the power to change the bylaws. Now, I know Richard Hill is just one commenter, and we can't necessarily do this with every comment. But in his case, you've got to chalk him up to agreement, and I agree with that. But he went further to suggest that we haven't gone far enough to empower membership, and he's a huge supporter of membership as the only way to do this, but suggesting that only the members can change the bylaws. So this is a stylistic question. If somebody went further than we did, how do we note that? Is that a divergence, concurrence, an exclamation point on what we did? Jordan, you could be on mute. I'm not hearing you.
Sorry. Yes, I was. that's a shame because I can't remember what I said, but it sounded okay, I thought. It may be that the best way to surface that for the public record, because this document will end up being public, is to make sure that we note it in the summary or impression, as I've just amended that here. And if there was an overall sense that 4 or 5 or 6 of these 20 comments made the same point, then that would surface up into the overall main issues or concerns part of the summary. But when it's one or two or one person making a kind of extensive claim like it is with Richard, my initial feeling anyway is that surfacing it here in the amended way proposed is enough. And I'd welcome any other kind of views on that. I mean, in the end, I certainly by next week, by the end of tomorrow, in fact, I will have read all of the comments top to bottom. But it's just not, I just haven't done that myself yet.
May I follow up?
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like reading all the comments top to bottom isn't nearly as useful as digging into a comment at the point when you want to understand what that comment said on a particular question. Perhaps both are necessary, but I only mean to say by example, when you click on the RH right there next to 290, it opens up that comment, and it's relatively easy to go to the section where he speaks to membership and realize that there was more there than meets the eye. It was not just a yes, it was an exclamation point on it. And so reading the comments while you're working from the questions back often reveals more than a first pass would have. I found that for me, that first pass of reading, there were a lot of subtleties I just completely missed that I picked up when I went backwards, working from the question in.
Mm-hmm. That's a fair point, Steve. And that's part of the digestion process that we all need to make sure that we are summarizing this stuff accurately and in good faith does require that level of action. I don't know if we can all do that in time for the meeting on Friday. I certainly have the chance to do that by then, but everyone is working on the limited resources that they've got in terms of time and energy. So I think it's a good for people who are volunteering to be originating these comments or impressions. That's a diligence that it would be. I would really welcome you taking on. And when I get back to doing some of that work, I will take that approach. So thank you, Steve, for that contribution. Unless there are any more follow-ups from you on that, I'd just ask more broadly if there are any other points here to raise. Because if there aren't, we might nip on to the Fiona's first draft summary of question 11. So, Barry, could you move the summary up to the question 11 summary? And Fiona, I hope that you could take the floor and talk us through this.
Fiona here. Yes,
I can hear you.
Yeah. Take the same approach and go through the original comments as well, instead of just the summary that was sent. Thank you.
Okay. My impression when I read through the comments that flowed under the summary, Fiona, was that in a couple of cases you've said, in the action suggestions, you said consider recommendation, for example, on comment 330, or in comment 332, you've said consider the concerns raised. Where other colleagues have been doing these summaries, they've treated these boxes on the right as if they should be a kind of summary of the material. So I see that you have identified all of the comments with the kind of tags and stuff, and that's extremely helpful, and thank you for doing that. Are you in a position to maybe do another pass of the comments that you've done in questions 11 and 12 and think about adding a little bit more detail to the summary impression or actions so that when someone just reads that right-hand column, they get a more of a sense without having to then go and read the whole comment? Is that something that you might be able to do, Fiona?
Yes, Fiona here. Yes, I can do that. It's just the only thing that I found was that the comments, the summary comments, are already so summarized. And but I know if I go back and read the main comments, then I'll be able to actually provide an appropriate summary or impression of each of the comments. So yes, I can get that done in the next couple of hours before our next call.
That would be fantastic. Thank you very much, Fiona. Are there any comments or questions for Fiona about the summary at the top of this section on question 11, which is the removal of individual ICANN directories? Any hands up? Steve, your hand is up. Please go ahead.
Yes, under this question, the USCIB number 335 is cited as needing a higher threshold. This is 335 in your table. And if this is still the same question, then I think we've miscategorized it. USCIB speaking to this filling of the entire board at 80%, not a single member at 80%. So this one is misplaced. Would you agree?
To me, you're making a reasonable point, Steve. just highlighted the text involved. So you're, to restate, you're suggesting that this last part is actually suggesting a higher threshold for spilling the whole board, not for the removal of an individual director?
That's right. So let's just take that out and lodge them as agreement without any recommendation to be considered. Agreed?
I think that makes sense, but this adds to a question I've got for the staff. Adam, I know that you started out by this call by saying that there was some additional material that was coming in that would be added into the public comment tool. And I emailed the staff earlier today to ask that where new comments are added from new material, if it was at all possible that they would either flag, you know, in an ideal world for me, they'll come into this Google document and add those matters there. But the question, so hopefully that is possible, but the question I've got is, if we find text in the Google document that is misallocated, that we think belongs in a different comment, how, like, only one person or one group of people should have authoritative control of where the comment summary lives. So presumably we shouldn't just move the text ourselves between comments. Adam, how is it best to organize the moving of content in this kind of situation?
I think you would send those comments directly to myself, to me, and to Alice, and we will update some master document, and then I would imagine move it within the Google Doc as well, as long as you're flagging to us where you think the misplaced text is, then that would be fine. There was some text that we found yesterday in which it was actually for Work Party 2 rather than Work Party 1, and we flagged that over to them and moved it in the master document. So this is happening. But as long as you inform Alice and me, then we will control the master, and as long as the master reflects what you're working on in the Google, I think that's probably fine.
Okay, thank you for that, Adam. One thing that I've started doing in the Google Doc is if I see text in the comments that it feels like it's in the wrong place, I highlight it in yellow. So I've just done that with the spilling the board material. So can we take it as, at this point, if anyone finds wrong text, text in the wrong place, your job is to let Adam and Alice, and preferably me, know by email, and to highlight it yellow in the Google Doc so that it can be easily found. And if you can include your suggestions about where to move it, that would be good. I'm sure there'll be a USCIB text in question 12, but I think it is helpful to get the staff to be managing where content lives so we don't get two divergent versions of content. Steve, is yours an old hand? Can I take Caboose, or you got a comment here? It's an old hand. Caboose, please go ahead.
I was typing something on the chat saying that this higher threshold was broadly discussed. We were about to agree with that, but at the end of the discussions previously, one or two persons proposed its reduction. So that is already something we have considered. So saying that suggestions to be considered, I think it was considered already. Thank you.
Thanks, Caboose. Yeah, it was one of the things that we have thought about. Okay, well, I suggest then, in the absence of any further hands, that we move into the next question summary for question 12 and ask, it's pretty self-explanatory there. And Fiona, I'd ask you to speak to this if you would like.
Thank you, Jordan.
Question 12, we did get 23 comments. Most of the comments are agreements. There are only two divergent comments, and then there are five comments that raise certain concerns that we have either considered or that we need to consider. But for me, the way I approach the work is the fact that a concern was raised. I just made a note that the concern was raised, so that if the work we are doing becomes a public document, then it is noted that the concern was noted. So I'm not going back and saying, oh, we already discussed and therefore we agreed. And I'm making a point of noting that the concern has been noted, it has been received, and it will be considered. Whether we had considered it before or not, I'm not going into all that, because that will have to be up to the entire group to make a decision on whether we want to reconsider some of the issues, like what Kavus has mentioned earlier about the 80% threshold. The comments have been very clearly articulated, and there isn't any that is bringing any form of confusion. And most are the main concern that is being raised is that the spilling of the board should be as a last resort. It should not be something that we want to do all the time, frequently, but it should be something that comes in as a last resort because everything else has failed. I did not, again, do summaries. I promise to go in and read the full documents that I appropriately capture the impression and summary of the comment for each of those comments. So where you see I've written, for example, 3, 5, 4, I say consider concern. The concern is that it should be a last resort, and if possible, it should never happen. If we were to respond to them, letting them know that we have received their comments would probably be telling them that my approach was telling them we have considered the concern. Thank you for your feedback. I have not gone through putting in all the CWG responses because I thought we would then be working on that together as we went through the comments. But for most, there isn't much action that we need to do. Generally, there is a lot of agreement with our proposal on as far as filling the entire board is concerned. But I'm ready to take questions from the rest of the members.
Thank you, Fiona. Are there any questions? I see one hand up from Kavus. So, Kavus, please go ahead.
No, it was all time, perhaps. Sorry.
Okay. Are there any other questions or comments for Fiona? I think that this whole process once again indicates the kind of time pressures that we're operating under. I think it's fair to acknowledge that in a perfect world, we would all have had the chance to prepare draft CCWG responses and review them all for all of these comments. Because this isn't a perfect world and we're under a really bad time constraint, I do think it's reasonable for the drafters to, if they wish to, go through and do a CCWG response. And I'm happy to spend a bit of time just randomly going through the document and filling that line out where it can be. Because I think, if memory serves, one of the ideas is that we will publish a document that does respond to all of the public comments. So we will need to say something at some point in response to all of these, and the rest of the material might go in that version of this document. But they don't have to be wordy or difficult, except where the comments themselves are difficult or raising complicated issues. So sometimes it's easy, sometimes it isn't. Steve, your hand is up.
Thanks, Jordan. Row 359 is the business constituency, or BC, comment, and I'm a policy coordinator in the BC. And I looked at, Fiona, how you characterized it. It's certainly agreement, but you also indicated concern, and I was thinking a little bit about that. You have consider, concern, and recommendation. What concern did you see in the BC comment so that maybe I could set the record straight on that? Go ahead.
Thank you, Jordan. The issue of concern in your document is that some of the BC support the 75% member voting threshold, while others support the 80% threshold. And so then that is something, and that comes through all the other comments as well, where there are comments that are in support of the 75% threshold, and there are others recommending a much higher percentage of 80% threshold. So we need to be able to have a discussion as a CCWG. If we have had a discussion before, now the comments are coming in, I think the right thing to do is to rediscuss the issue of the threshold, unless we are saying whatever discussions we had in the past are firmed up and finished, finalized, and therefore we are not going to reconsider them. But I think the purpose of us having public comments is that the comments will come in and we will go back to issues we may have discussed before and we look at them. I think we need to look at the issue of the threshold and be very clear on that. Why a 70% threshold as opposed to an 80% threshold? So the concern for me was the threshold, and in that, by the way, in that section, most of the issues that the comments you have written, they've raised a concern. The concern has to do with the percentage of the threshold, or with the process. So for the BC, it's really the percentage that is a concern.
Thank you, Fiona. And I was quarterbacking that comment, and the BC was split on whether it should be 75 or 85, so we don't really have a recommendation on that. I think next time around, when the comments are for the draft, perhaps we'll have one way or the other, but it's probably more accurate to say the BC agrees, and there really is no concern in that row, since we did not have a majority for 75 or a majority for 80. We were split. But in general, we support the comment and don't have any concerns with the plan.
Thanks, Steve. I think we can leave that one there. It sounds like your argument from from where you are, your role, is that there isn't a concern there. So I'm going to insert my thing at the top and delete the concern one. And someone else is highlighting the consider concern, and that's Fiona. So that's tidied up. And she's going to add something there, no doubt. Caboose, your hand is up.
If there are the majority in favor of the threshold proposed and very few in favor of the higher threshold, what do we do? Do we reconsider the situation because of this very small number of minority proposing different value, or because of the, let us say, overwhelming majority are happy or do not have concerns about the threshold, we retain that. So the approach is that how much effort you put to review the situation based on the minority concerns. Just as a general question, not specifically for this one. Thank you.
Cavus, I think it's a very good general question, and my general answer is that we don't, someone here has a saying in my office, that you, or someone on the working group or the CCWG, that you don't count submissions, you read them. And I think the point there is that we, if a minority of submissions comes up with a new angle or a new argument that the CCWG hasn't thought of, then we spend more time and energy considering the point made and seeing if it affects our overall analysis. If a small minority, or if the same size minority of commenters make points that we've already considered and incorporated in our analysis, we spend a bit less time thinking about it. So I don't see any hard and fast rule that we can use to answer the question other than to play it by ear, almost, to look at the nature of the input that we're getting and where it forces a broader rethink because of the kind of arguments that are being advanced, then we do that. And where it's just a reiteration of something that we've already thought about, we probably take a little bit less time and a little bit less energy in reconsidering what's been proposed by the CCWG already. Now, if there aren't any other comments on this part of the doc, we seem to be tracking reasonably well in terms of the time that we've got. So my suggestion is that we do have a bit of a chat. I don't know if Steve and Avery have connected with the affirmation of commitments material, but I think Steve has taken in Avery's drafts and done a second draft that, generally speaking, from what I saw, expands on the material. So I'd like us to spend the next 10 or 15 minutes with Steve on the floor, and maybe discussion between Steve and Avery will flow from that, just taking us through the start of these comments in question 13, incorporating the affirmation of commitments into the ICANN bylaws. So, Steve, if you're happy with that, would you mind taking the floor for us and kicking off on comment number 373.
Thank you, Jordan. Aubrey and I have not connected person to person since our last call, but I did what I promised to do, which is to give a second look at some of the analysis that Aubrey did on this section. And you'll see that I retained, in most cases, Aubrey's language, but added what I could from our own proposal. So I did not fill out the summary, Jordan, that is at the top of this section yet, so I don't have anything to speak to that. But on 373, I noted in here that Richard Hill, he already understood the distinction between jurisdiction and where ICANN is located, so there wasn't any trending item there and no disagreement. He says that if California law doesn't allow the membership to exercise full powers, then it may be better to incorporate elsewhere. And am I right in saying that the legal advice provided to us indicates that California law does allow the membership to exercise and even enforce full powers? If I'm right about that, we don't have any disagreement with Richard Hill on that. Rosemary or Holly?
To get clarified right now, and Holly's hand is up, so Holly, I would suggest I welcome you to speak.
Hello, all.
Holly, you...
So,
there you go.
Can you hear me? Okay, I'm sorry. It took me a minute to figure out how to get my mute off at this time of the night. California law provides you these enforceable powers to a person who's a member, and to do that, they must be a legal person. I think we've been pretty clear on that.
Thanks, Holly. All this indicates is that Richard Hill started his comment by saying if California law does not allow the membership to exercise full powers. So given that, he doesn't have any disagreement with us there either. And so the entire part about moving to Switzerland is an interesting idea, but it is predicated on his statement that if California doesn't give us the powers.
Right.
So on this point...
And if I may, Swiss law has the same, very same requirement around legal personhood for membership. So there's no advantage. I mean, if the subtext to his comment was around the SO and AC needing to become, take action to become legal persons, it's very clear that there's no advantage under Swiss law. They would have the same requirement. But you're right.
Right.
To the extent that he phrases his question as an if there's a problem in California, there is no problem. You have the ability to do it. Simply, the only issue is this hurdle of legal personhood, which is the same in either jurisdiction.
Thanks, Holly. He goes on to say that I didn't want to disqualify Richard's other statements about moving to Switzerland just because the if answered a no. So, because he suggests that... Sure, go ahead, Aubrey.
Okay, before we leave the question that we just finished, I wanted to ask a question, and I wanted to make sure we were differentiating and whether there was a need to between what Richard means about full powers and what we mean about powers to do the five things. And are those the same? Thanks.
Aubrey, that's a very good question. I was assuming when he said full powers, what he meant was the full powers to do the five things you want to do. But he could have a different meaning, and maybe someone who's read his comment at length has a more insight into it. I haven't gone to his to the underlying comment and read it in full form.
Here, well, he says... to elect and revoke the board, approve and review the budget, comma, et cetera. So I don't know what he meant, Aubrey, with comma, et cetera, right? So hard to say.
I think a fair reading is it suggests he's talking about the powers that the proposal identifies. I don't know how else to read that.
Neither do I.
So Aubrey, let's ask Richard. Did you mean all five, or did you mean the two? Because he puts et cetera. He names dump the board, lock the budget, comma et cetera. So I don't know how to read that. But rather than discount Richard's point about Switzerland, I agree with you, Aubrey. We should keep it alive, and I agree with your suggested action. Is to ensure the jurisdiction and state of incorporation are serious topics for Workstream 2. But then I went back to Richard's point about what the working group is proposing. The working group is not proposing that ICANN, we're not proposing a change to ICANN's articles of incorporation or bylaws with respect to the California incorporation and location. That is in the existing articles of incorporation and Article 18 of the bylaws. We propose no change on that. We took a look at the affirmation of commitments 8B, and we concluded that was already reflected in Article 18 in the bylaws, so we did not make a change. That also came through in another comment below. And then finally, with respect to Richard Hill, I tried to figure out what would he say about Article 18 being a fundamental bylaw. Well, given all that he said about wanting Switzerland, maybe he would say no to that. He doesn't answer it explicitly. But then he does say that all bylaws changes should be fundamental when he made the comment that the membership and only the membership should have the power to change the bylaws. That would suggest that every bylaw becomes fundamental in his thinking. So I'm a little confused, don't exactly know what column to put Richard in for that, but you can see that, I mean, Aubrey and I always approach things a little differently, and my approach to Richard's comment came up with a different analysis than Aubrey. That the action suggested is, well, it's still the same. Jordan, this is a lot of detail, and if you want me to go through this on each of them, I could.
I don't think we need to go into that much detail on each of them myself.
I think we should take Caboose's question or comments. Caboose, if you are questioning or commenting, you have got yourself on mute. Oh, there you go.
Some of them are constitutional and fundamental, should remain constitutional fundamental with more stability to be changed in order to create stability for its application, and others which has less fundamental nature and less constitutional nature, therefore remain traditional bylaw. So it is difficult to say that all provisions of bylaw should be fundamental. It creates a sort of rigidity for the process. Point number two, it is said that the California law does not allow the membership to exercise its power. Does the Switzerland law allow that? Or are we going to investigate all the laws of all countries to see which one allows, which one does not allow? And that would be a productive exercise. And one comment, the membership referred to in this comment, it has nothing to do with the member model. It's perhaps talking about community, but not membership as such. So we should not confuse that with that. And fourthly, etc. does not exist in our discussions. We have six areas, and these areas are quite clear. Budget, plan, recall of the individual, recall of the fool, and so on and so forth. So we don't have anything more than that six. So there is no excess at all. Thank you.
Steve, do you want to reply to Caboose's points?
Caboose, it's Steve. I was just noting that Richard Hill gives us a ambiguous statement about what to do on Article 18 as a fundamental bylaw. He suggests that the membership should approve all bylaws. So I just noted that in the comment, and if he's the only one to suggest all bylaws become fundamental, then we wouldn't consider it a consensus approach of the community. And I don't think we necessarily have to argue against it unless we see that it's something that comes up over and over again. I don't recall a single other person saying that all of the bylaws should be fundamental.
I think the use of fundamental is a misnomer when it comes to Richard, because what he's really saying is that the board shouldn't have anything to do with the bylaws, that they should all be in the power of the members and only the members. So that isn't making them fundamental. That's a, to use a different kind of fundamental, that's just a fundamental change to ICANN. And that's not where we're going. So we can set that aside. Avery, your hand is up. So please go ahead. Your hand is down. So please don't.
Yeah,
go ahead.
It was an accidental off. Sorry.
It's outrageous. You know, next thing the sky will be falling in. don't laugh at your own jokes, Jordan. It's too late in the day. Who would like to go on to the... So we don't have time to spend 15 minutes per comment, and Richard's comment is particularly challenging, so I understand why it took a while. Do you think that we could move on to the next one and maybe pick up the pace, Steve? Would that be okay?
Well, absolutely. We'll go as fast as we'd like to go. Next one was the Danish Business Authority. And all they noted is that governments are given appropriate weight. And I pick up on Aubrey's point that neither today in the affirmation or in our proposal did we get into the precise makeup of the review teams. But we did propose that everybody have one. Does this group believe that the response is appropriate? We have to express it more specifically in our next version, where we actually break down the details of how many people on each review team come from GNSO, how many come from CCNSO, how many come from GAC. Because I get the sense that maybe that's something that gets worked out over time and not necessarily baked into the bylaws. I think I'd agree with Aubrey on that. I don't see any hands. Jump ahead. Will Curry was completely in agreement on 375. On 376, this was a mistaken notion. They believed we were bringing the affirmation of commitments reviews in as they were, but we made significant changes. The comment that they make about it being too slow, well, that's understandable. And it's every 3 years, sometimes every 4 years or 5 years, because we expanded that. But I did want to bring up the fact that we did some belts and suspenders in the CCWG. We didn't count on just doing an ATRT every 3, 4, or 5 years, because anytime the board takes an action that violates the bylaws, we can invoke an IRP or reconsideration, and it could be binding if we do it through a membership. And I don't agree that there's a conflict of interest. So I went ahead and said that there. I don't see that there's a conflict of interest, because when the community does a review, it reviews itself to some extent, but it also reviews the actions of management and board, since they're the ones handling the true implementation and operations. We should look at Workstream 2 for further improvements, but there's probably not much more to do there. I think I should fix the typo. I should say distinct from the ICANN board, not district. Okay, AFNIC is agreement. Next one's agreement. 378, if you keep scrolling down. Barry, do you have control on 378, please? The government of Spain. I shortened this one to say that they want to terminate the AOC after the transition, and that's important. I included the quote from our proposal on paragraph 257, where we indicated it was possible, and I'm suggesting in our next draft we could make termination of the AOC a desired or an intentional outcome of having brought the commitments and reviews into the bylaws. So, Jordan, as a matter of I'm wondering when, perhaps we do this in Buenos Aires, where the CCWD tries to consider whether we want to reflect a comment like this by changing what it is we're recommending in our next draft.
Steve, it's a good question. I think that we're discussing the agenda for the BA meeting on Tuesday's call. And I wouldn't want to hazard a guess about whether we're going to have a section yet of that meeting that makes some initial early decisions about things to change in the next version of the document or not. I just can't remember what I've seen in terms of the draft agenda. But I don't think there's any problem in us in our CCWG, you know, sort of actions or recommendations. I don't think there's any problem in picking up what we would like to propose for the CCWG to do. The sooner that's done, the better, all things being equal.
Great. So we'll just note it.
I direct you to Caboose's hand up. Maybe
Steve, you said that in our next version we indicate that terminating a bylaw is desirable or something. I suggest different language. We could say termination of affirmation of commitment is consequential actions from the CCWG process of inclusion of many or some or whatever you say of its provision in the bylaw. So it is not desirability, it is a consequential action. At some time we need to terminate that because they have the main part of has been included in the bylaw and the remaining will be taken or are being taken by events. So we should be more clear on that, but not talk about desirability or possibility. Thank you.
Thanks, Caboose. That's a drafting point to take into account, and that we'll need to get right by the time we get to our second public comment. Steve, back
and then,
to
you. And then finally, Spain gave us a three or four specific ideas about the transparency and the process that's used by review teams. Those ideas are interesting and could be candidates for the chapeau section where we suggest that all four review teams have a set of rules, set of capabilities, and it makes entirely good sense. I agree with Aubrey for us to consider those in our next draft. Let's go to the next one after Spain, please. It's the registry stakeholder group. We did get some clarity from Keith Drazik on the last call that we did. I don't even remember when it was. He spoke about inconsistencies and that they want the ATRT to have the role of sunsetting reviews, and in specifically, they think that WHOIS will be a good candidate. The WHOIS review would be a good candidate for sunsetting, but they really are in full agreement here on the sunset part. I look at number two, though. The registry stakeholder group said they noted a concern that they want a bottom-up multi-stakeholder process to interpret things like the new GTLD review, because that's where the words like, I drilled into their underlying comment, because they are concerned that the review of the new GTLD program will allow a review team to interpret things like consumer trust, consumer choice, and competition. And the registry stakeholder group said there should be a bottom-up multi-stakeholder process. So here's my question for you folks. Do we think that a community-driven review, such as the affirmation of commitments, is sufficiently bottom-up? Does it have a consensus in it? Isn't it actually populated from the bottom of the ICANN community? Or is there something completely different when we do a review? Is it really a bottom-up process? I think that it is, and I'm curious about what others think. All right, let me move on then to the next one, 381.
This is Aubrey, while you're moving on, that the trickiness, I think, on the full bottom-up procedure is to some, I think, and this, again, the registry people on the call can correct, means more the PDP process than it means a review. The AOC review is certainly a multi-stakeholder group, and yes, you could say its members are chosen in a bottom-up review when it does comments. But in other places, when we've defined the whole notion of the bottom-up, it's included that the development process. So there may be some ambiguity there, and that's what I would want to look at more closely. Thanks.
My words exactly, Aubrey. I think we want to ask the registries whether they mean that we need a PDP for things like that. That's great. Okay. On the next one, JH, I believe, had a mistaken notion about this coexistence between the bylaws and the affirmation of commitments. So we repeated the comment above. It was another mistaken notion that the affirmation of commitments 8B was driving some sort of requirement for ICANN to be located in Los Angeles, and so I explained that the current articles and bylaws are where that is. We're not proposing any change to those requirements. And I can't really tell whether JH wants Article 18 to be a fundamental bylaw or not. So this one is really full agreement, and I don't think it's a concern. I might have said confusion, but I'm trying to be careful about using that term. But this is certainly not a disagreement or concern. Next one, Barry. All right, so 382. Again, Article 18 should be fundamental. The BC was explicit about that. And 383, they recommend increasing the cycle time of the periodic reviews. The UK may not be aware that we did, in our proposal, expand the number of years between reviews. So we did so, and I believe that we'll need to check with UK in our next draft as to whether they even want them to be further apart. USCIB has one interesting point where they actually indicated they don't support the words where feasible and appropriate. And what's interesting is that the CCWG, those of you on the call, we didn't suggest those words. They came over from the AOC. So we didn't even suggest adding them, because I don't know what to do with that. They want to cut words out as we bring them over from the affirmation of commitments, and we'll probably need to understand whether others have that same view to decide whether to take action on. 386, 385 was the same. I think this was a mistaken notion for JP Nick. And determination of the affirmation will not be necessary. So I think that we covered this one already. I sort of just copied it in at the same time. 387.
I think, Steve,
I think that's as far as I got. Go ahead.
Yeah, that was as far as I got in your revisions and reviews. So thank you for doing that work. And I wonder if you and Avery together are going to be able to keep tag teaming on this and flesh out the rest of these comments. You've got another 10 or 12 to go. Is that going to be viable for you, Steve? For you, Avery? And Avery, I see your hand is up, so go ahead.
Right. Yeah, this is Avery to answer your question. In fact, the tag teaming, you know, in effect, if Steve wants to go through and give the initial answers on the rest, and then I can do, you know, the second review as he did on the ones I provided in the first class. So tag teaming is actually a really good way to do it, and now we can switch roles, or I propose we switch roles, and Steve continue with the initial answer, and then I'll go back and do the second reading.
Okay, that sounds good to me.
Steve accepts that, obviously.
he said sure, Avery, in the chat, so we're going to assume that he stands by that comment of a moment ago. And the other thing I would ask maybe for an action is that you guys have a go at the summary thing, which will be a little bit more complicated for this block of comments than it is for the previous one. But if that's possible, that would be great as well.
Once the rest of it is finished, we can look at doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. So it would follow the other analysis of the comments. And if I'm not mistaken, we've got about 36 hours between now and the start of the next call. So maybe that's a viable thing for you to enjoy spending your weekends doing. Look, thank you to both of you for that. The last content piece of the call that we've got tonight is to flick right up to the start of the document and to start looking through the first section of the doc, where I had a start with the comments, and then Lulof has been amending, improving, and carrying these on. Right in the first comment on 2.2.3, we asked for some words from Sidley, and we've now got some words from Sidley there. So if for this part of the call we could have a Sidley lawyer to just briefly speak to that that language there, that would be good. Holly Gregory, go ahead.
So what we did was we added suggested language to clarify that whether you're under California law or under Swiss law, the issue around recognition of legal persons as a requirement for members is the same, and also that both jurisdictions provide to members of a nonprofit corporation or nonprofit association the ability to exert some meaningful oversight of that entity, but again, in each case, needing to be organized as legal persons, which means either human beings serving in their individual capacity or legally recognized entities, such as unincorporated associations.
Thank you. Thank you for that, Holly. I'm just incorporating that in the... in the proposed CCWG response. So we can leave that one there for now. Rulof, do you want to speak? Because my initial drafts, you've done quite a lot of work improving. Do you want to spend the next sort of 15 or 20 minutes you work through as the lead speaker on this stuff, and I can tag in as you like? Are you happy to do that? But actually, you think about that for a moment, Rulof, because there's suddenly a cue. So, Holly, if you could put your hand down, Kavus is next in the queue.
Yes, I have just a small question. I see here under the CCWG response that they say the CCWG thank you. They refer to an individual. We do the same thing in all other comments. We write back to those who send the comments and provide individual response. I think this is the first time I see here that the CCWG thank you, thanking an individual. Thank you.
My impression is that we are indeed meant to provide a response to each comment, and so it isn't meant to be a particularly polite one, because Richard is an individual as opposed to organization. It's just that, you know, I have a hatred of bureaucratic sameness and language, and so if I'm writing these CCWG responses, they're going to be a little bit different each time, but generally thanking people for input. That seems to be the steer that we've had from the co-chairs and from the whole group. Holly's added some material in the chat about what could be better said. Good expenses. But if we could go back into Steve's question, which is next.
Thanks. Holly, given that Richard Hill was talking about individuals, not the ACs and SOs, being the members, my question for you is, would each of those individuals have to be part of a UA or legal personhood, or were they as individuals have sufficient standing to be members if ICANN were an individual member entity? I'm raising this, Holly, because the way he's confusing us a bit, because he wants individuals, not ACs and SOs, and part of our answer that you're working on is all about, well, ACs and SOs.
Okay, so legal persons, individual humans, by definition, are legal persons. So the answer is yes. Individual persons can have all of the membership powers. They can be members. They qualify. That's the easy. Maybe I didn't answer it because that's the easy answer. And I thought it was pretty clear that human beings are legal persons.
That's a helpful clarification. Good. Thank you.
Thanks, Holly. Thanks, Steve. And I've incorporated that in the answer just in terms of getting that right. I urge us not to spend any more time on Richard's comment at this point. I think we've got an answer that makes sense with the help of counsel. So thank you. And I would like, if I may, Holly, you've got more to add on that one? Nope. Okay. I would like to go back to my previous suggestion of asking Rulof to lead us through some of this content, if you would like to do so. Rulof, are you able to do so?
Hi, Jordan. This is Rulof. Yes, I'm able to do so. If I like to do it, that's a different question, because I'm wondering what the best way would be do it so that it doesn't become very boring and me just reading what is written in it. But do you have any suggestions on that, Jordan?
Okay. Well, let's take. We're a small group today. We've gone through quite a lot of content already, and I would like to put a proposition to the room based on Roloff's clear hesitation in wishing to bore us all / explain to us all for a while what he's already written. To me, personally, it's more valuable to look at summaries once they've been completed and to make sure through a collective discussion process that we've got the summary right and cross-checked that everything that needs to be included or not is done. So I'm going to make a proposal and would like you to get ready to use your voting ticks or crosses. And the proposal is that we don't go through these comments one by one, but that actually we save this area of the content to go through on the call on Sunday at 1800 when the summary work will have been done. So if you agree with that proposal, that we don't go through these comments one by one now in this first section, but that we go through them as needed when the summary is done, by Roloff and Matt and I and everyone on Mondays, on the Sunday night's call. If you agree with that, please use your green tick. I'm going to use my... Before we do that, though, please use your green tick and we'll take Steve's question afterwards. If you disagree with that, please use a red cross. And if you are... no longer a person and are a zombie, don't do anything. Got four green ticks out of 13 on the list. Some of you may not be able to do ticks. You've got a smiley face. Okay, that sounds like the opposite of turkeys voting for an early Christmas. So I think we've got a mandate to not work through all these individually, which I find helpful because it's Saturday night personally. So, Roloff, you're saved. I'll just thank you for the work that you've been doing in this area. I don't know if Matt has been doing any or not. I think if we could come to the next agenda item here, which is what to do next. Approach to the 14 June call, Sunday, 1800. So that's, 23 hours away. No, it isn't. It's 40 hours away, whatever it is. It's a while away. I think the action that we need to do at that call is to look at the summary for this section, to section one on the overall mechanism, to look at the summary for the AOC incorporation, to have another review of the summaries on the director removal question, and hopefully to get a look at a summary of the bylaws material, which relies on Keith Jarzak having a loop in, and he did say he'd be on the next call. Those seem to me to be the important pieces of work that we need to do on Monday's call, and I don't know if we'll be able to get them all done. It relies, of course, on the volunteer work and to have made some more progress in terms of the CCWG's response. So if those summaries are done along with the overall CCWG response to each section of comments, so a proposal for the CCWG to look through in Buenos Aires, I think we'll have done a lot of very good work very quickly. So I would welcome kind of people's reactions to that proposed work for the next call. And Caboose, I see that your hand is up, so please go ahead. And you're on mute, Caboose, I think. If you are, your hand has gone down. So that's allowed as well. Given the slightly strange time zone we're in and the relative quietness of the call, I'm going to assume that that is a reasonable program of work for Monday, or whatever it is, the 14th of June, the next call. And I think that that means that we're largely complete on this call. So I will now make a call for whether there is any other business to raise or for items to discuss today. Does anyone have anything else to add? I see a few people typing. I don't see any hands up. And it's okay not to have any other items, by the way. Don't feel an urge to speak. And now I see no typing and no hands, so I think we've drawn this call to a close half an hour early. So I'd just like to close out by thanking everyone for the contributions on the call today, and a special thanks to the people who've been doing a bit of writing. The people I know about who've been doing that, Fiona, Steve, Avery, and Robin, though she isn't here. And thanks for all the input. I look forward to seeing the work that people come up with. The last point I'd make is that if you... I don't understand the massive variations in quality of experience that people have with respect to accessing the Google Doc. Whether I'm on a mobile connection here in New Zealand or on a fixed line connection, I get fast responsive service from it. I know that other people have frustratingly and distressingly awful experiences there. So if you need another mode to work on the document, please let me know. Unless I'm asleep, I'm happy to download it and to send you a Word doc. What I'll do directly after this call is I'll write a draft agenda for the next meeting, and I will circulate a Word version as it is now after the changes that we've made on this call, and a PDF version because it doesn't take any more to do. And so if you need to work on that, please do it in chat changes so people can see what you're doing, and then send it around on the email list as Stephen did, and I or the staff can paste things back in into the Google Doc as a central repository. And if you find things that are in the wrong place in the comments, don't forget to highlight them in yellow. And I look forward to speaking at our next meeting. So thanks, everyone. And we will talk again soon. Have a good evening, morning, whatever it is for you. Clubbing experience, if you're Greg. See you later.
Bye. Have a good weekend.